You can see the impact just declaring the name of Jesus over the nations. Very powerful. Faith expressed through love. When we sing. Father, you have spoken. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord will be chief amongst all mountains. And nations will stream, saying, come, let's go, let us go to the mountain of God, that we may know how to walk, we may be taught in the ways of God. So we thank you that your kingdom is chief amongst all kingdoms. You have spoken that your kingdom will expand and destroy all other kingdoms. We declare that over the nations. Jesus, you have taught us to pray to our Father. So we come, Father, and we want to thank you that you are an incredible Father in heaven. May your name be so lifted up and glorified. So we declare the glory of your name to be made known in the nations. Your kingdom come, we decree, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But also today we want to press into something that you're wanting to share with us. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus, you taught us what this meant when you said, this is the food, this is my bread that I eat, and that is to do my Father's will. And that's what we are pressing in, what you've laid on our hearts this morning, Father, to release and to make that proclamation and to speak out, give us today our daily bread. And we thank you as we're learning how to receive daily bread from you, Father, so that what our Lord Jesus told us, that whatever we ask in his name, it will be done so that you are glorified. Father, we want to come to the place where we are realizing in John 17 when your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, said that he has brought glory on earth to you by finishing the work that you have told him to do. And that's what we are asking, Father, today by your Holy Spirit, that the family, your family in this nation, will be able to hear, be able to receive daily bread, so that we will fulfill and complete the work that you have purposed for us to do in our time, so that you are glorified. And this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, with the guarantee that what we ask in his name, it will happen, so that you will be glorified in this nation. And we thank you for the privilege of being part of something by completing the work that you have given us to do, each and every one. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was going to be playing a video. It was an interview by a lady, Liz, with another chap, Robert Hodgkins, but I'll put that on the Facebook. You can listen to that. It's a very good interview, and it's very much tied into what we were sharing last week about how our Father is training our hands for battle and understanding the war that we've entered into. So I'll put it on there. It's a Facebook. It's got on the Cecilburg Baptist Facebook, the one that's got the door with Isaiah 61, 20 and beyond. It'll be on that one over there. So you can watch it in your own time. So during the week, I'm busy spending time with God, and he highlighted a word. And this word is a word that, as I said, it makes me a bit nervous, because I know why we need the throne of grace. And the reality of understanding what the Holy Spirit is saying to the family of God today. So if you want a theme, it's about being awakened to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the family of God in what the writer to the Hebrews called today, if you hear the Word of God. Do not harden your hearts. So we're going to be praying just now for the family of God in our nation to be awakened to hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to the family of God in this today. Now, today of God's today. And to be able to respond. So it's going to be a radical obedience that is now required of us. And that's why it makes me nervous. Because it's a radical obedience. There's no arguing. It's going to be a very important time for the family of God in our nation to hear and to obey. And we need to take notice of what Holy Spirit wants to share with us today. So in the prayer in John chapter 17, as Jesus is busy praying, and as we've been seeing over there, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And that's why when Jesus says, the work, my food, my bread is to do the work of my Father. And we're praying, give us today our daily bread. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you and I today? And our obedience to that. Okay. So that our Father is glorified on earth through us as His children. And that's what we are doing by completing the work you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you. And it's interesting that word you is also the word for name. Because remember, the name of God and the person of God cannot be separated. So when we have in certain translations, I have revealed you, I've revealed your name, I've made you known. So he has a fascinating truth that Jesus is saying over here to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. So here we see, just for a moment, Jesus is saying, Father, a lot of people have heard the name God. But I have made you known. So I've taken that name that everybody used, and now I've made it you, so now they can know you, God. And that's the reality of the Holy Spirit. Is a lot of people will say, oh, we know Jesus, we heard Jesus, we know God, we know, we've heard about God, oh, this kind of stuff. We use God's name in vain and all that. So God's word is there. But a time comes when the Holy Spirit takes that name and introduces the people to the person of that name. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's making people connect to the real Father, of the name, to knowing God personally, and introducing them to the God of that name. And that's part of our ministry as a body of Christ in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is to share the gospel so that people can not only have heard and know the name in the dictionary, God and Jesus Christ, but to know, to get to know them. And that's why in verse 3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And whenever you can ask folk, because they will say they are Christian, but you ask him, do you know the Father? Do you know the Son? Are you in a relationship with them? If they can say yes, they're very real, I know, then you know they've got eternal life. If they cannot answer, then you know they don't have eternal life. They've got an intellectual understanding of that. So it's just to help when we spend time with people and they are battling in their life and they say they're Christian, but they don't know the Father. They don't know the Son. But Jesus carries on and he says concerning his disciples that he has made the Father known to them, they were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. So straight away Jesus is starting to emphasize something concerning our today. I've made you known and they have obeyed. In other words, what happened was that what I've shared with them, they have taken it deep into their hearts. So I have revealed you to them, I have manifested you to them through my life here on earth, and they've heard me, and they've taken not the words to the mind, they've taken it deep into their very hearts, and they believe. Okay, and with that, they have responded in obedience to what I have shared. And so they're living a life of obedience. And then he carries on. Now they know, notice the consequences of obeying the word of God. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for them alone, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And then he carries on. But again, we see in verse 8, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. We're praying for the family of God in our nation. And Jesus has prayed something and is sharing something about his ministry and about the disciples that are his true disciples. The true disciple is the one who believes and has received, placed it into their hearts, and they are walking in a life of obedience to their truth. We're praying for the family of God in a nation to be able to press into hearing what God is saying, but living a life of obedience to that truth. This is nervous, because it's going to require radical obedience for the family of God, for the benefit of a nation being saved. Jesus is our example of radical obedience to his Father so that the world can be saved. And we, his body, and we are living as his body. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. And so there's a radical obedience to what the Spirit of Truth says to you and I that is vital for the breakthrough of a nation. For the family of God, the holy called out family of God, this kingdom, this dominion and priests in which Christ rules through us here on earth as it is in heaven. Radical obedience. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you and I that we need to respond to? In John chapter 8, Jesus is addressing the Jews over here. And in verse 31, he says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said. So it's not just believing. You see, the obedience is vital in the believing. Faith has an action. Okay? Because we love him, we obey him. To the Jews who had believed him, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're praying for the family of God in South Africa. Now let's ask, if we observe, if we listen, how many believers do you and I know that is so full of trauma, so full of issues? We're praying for the family of God in the nation. And the number one reason why the family of God in the nation, we live with all the baggage, simply because we did not obey the truth that the Spirit of God is sharing. Bottom line, it's as simple as that. Because Jesus says something profoundly over here. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What happens in the Word of God, the truth that the Holy Spirit shares to a believer, in that Word is the power for deliverance. In holding on to that Word releases the victory over the issues. That's the power of the Word that we receive operating within us. And so we're praying for the family of God in a nation that needs to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and obey, so that they can receive, so that we can receive the powerful, victorious work of that truth, setting the captives free. If we reject that, we will remain in a place of unrest in our soul, in our mind, in our emotions, in our life. So you can see the importance for us today. When I was sitting, I got earlier this morning with Lord, the seriousness of this word, the earnestness in the throne room of God, with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there was such a sense of deep earnestness of what He wants me to share and what He wants us to pray for a nation today. Because we're going to go into a time of prayer, all of us, now. And I sense a sense of earnest there, the seriousness of this moment for a nation, the body of Christ, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying in the today, and to respond in radical obedience because of the incredible love that God has for the nation, for the unsaved, and for the nations. And there's a call of God over the family of God to step out of compromising with the world, to step out of a love affair with the world, to step out of being so controlled by the world, and to realize we're in a kingdom, and to have our heart and our minds filled with the desires of the Spirit of God, the heart of God, so that we can be involved in seeing the nation being saved. Are you nervous yet? Because this is radical obedience to the Spirit of truth. Because we love God. And because we love, out of that love we obey. So we're in a time now where this radical obedience is going to be a manifestation of our love for God. And love never fails. So as we pray for a nation, as we pray for the family of God in a nation, so that a nation can be saved, we are praying from a place, we are obeying from a place of deep, deep love for God. And we know the Word of God that says that this love does not fail. So this is very serious. This is very, the intensity in the heart of God, the seriousness of our Father in sharing something, so that there's a wake up, there's an awakening taking place in the family of God. And not being consumed by the politics, not being consumed about whether I'm going to live today or tomorrow, not being consumed and how I'm going to buy my next cell phone and how I'm going to buy this and how I'm going to do that, not being consumed by all of this stuff, But to really press in and to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the family of God today, so that we may enter into the rest of God. So it's pretty serious what the Spirit of God is sharing with us and our responsibility in praying. Then you will know the truth. You will experience that truth. And as we experience this truth, we're experiencing the power, the victory, the freedom that truth brings within us. Can you see the family of God in a nation free? Because the family of God in a nation has taken hold of the teaching of our Lord Jesus. He's taken hold of what the Holy Spirit has shared from Jesus, who has received it from the Father, and made it known to the family of God. Can you see the deliverance? Can you see the emptiness of the psychiatrists? No believers going to psychiatrists. Can you see that the rooms not full anymore? Because believers are experiencing the power of the truth of God, setting them free, bringing in the deliverance, the victory, because we simply believe and simply obey. Instead of all the excuses and arguments and why I cannot forgive, why I cannot do this, why I cannot do that. That's the evidence that we do not love our Father, because we love our pain too much and we're worshipping our pain and our emotions too much. We just don't want to obey. And for the family of God in a nation to begin to respond to the Spirit of God speaking the word from the Father in our day, in our today, and us responding to that, the family of God gets set free. And when the family of God is free, the authority that we have is tremendous, because now we can speak about certain things, we can address certain things in the spiritual realm, because we don't have openings, we don't have all the stuff that allows us to compromise and remain weaklings in the spirit realm. We cannot be praying, the body of Christ cannot be praying for God to set the nation free from whatever it may be, when we ourselves are caught up into it in one way or the other. That's why I got nervous. Because it's going to be like Hebrews, let go to Hebrews and you'll see why we need the throne room of grace where we are entering now. The writer in Hebrews is sharing something profound, and he says in verse 7, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion. He's referring to the history, but he's speaking to the now. As you did in the rebellion during the times of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. Hey, 40 years they saw what God was doing, and yet they still resisted. And then he carries on and he says over here, and that is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And then as a word of encouragement, he says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And then he carries on and he says, who were they who heard and rebelled? whether not all those Moses led out of Egypt, so they all saw the miraculous, they saw everything, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of the unbelief. Therefore, since the promises of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of us be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Faith requires an action. That's the obedience. Now we who have believed entered that rest just as God had said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So that is why we're in a place now where if we have to examine our hearts and we have to listen to our family, our Christian brothers and sisters at where we are, and we've got to ask, is there the rest within us? Because the rest is a sign that we are hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, and we have received it, and we're walking in it. And that's why when it comes to a lot of the issues that believers we have, is simply because we have not entered that rest. We're still resisting the Spirit of truth. We're still holding on, and we're not yielding and saying, okay, it's time to get rid of all that stuff and say yes to the Holy Spirit and experience the power of truth. So if your friends come for counseling, don't pamper to their excuses. Ask them, what has the Holy Spirit shared with you today that you're not obeying? Until you obey, you will not enter rest. If you want rest from that problem, from that issue, you've got to obey. That's the bottom line. Radical obedience. So what do? Well, let's rather not be blunt like that. Let me give you some tablets to make you happy. No. Obedience to the truth. To enter rest. Those tablets will not let you enter rest. So, yes, a rest that God is speaking about that only comes from today if you hear His voice and obey. Can you imagine a nation, the family of God in South Africa, all over, every town, every village, all of us in a place of tremendous rest? Because we are hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to us today, and we just simply said, yes, Lord. And we're living it out in obedience. Rest. Rest in the mind, rest in the soul. Rest. So if we don't have rest, that's the Holy Spirit saying, we haven't yet obeyed. Bottom line. Very simple. And if we can't hear what the Spirit of God is saying, maybe because we've hardened our heart over many, many months or years of practicing to harden our heart, when the Spirit of God is told, today we need to repent. God, I remember years back you told me something and I've ignored it and I've suppressed that. I'm sorry. I forgive. So that once again, we're able to hear the Spirit of God speak very clearly and say, yes, Lord. But notice what the writer in the Hebrew says over here. And then he carries on, and for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day that remains then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. This is the power of this incredible freedom that truth brings in us, this place of tremendous rest from what because of what our Lord Jesus has done. Therefore, make every effort to enter the rest so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. Disobedience, no rest. Obedience, rest. Now look at this. For the word of God is living and active. That's why this is uncomfortable and can be quite nerve-wracking. For the word of God, remember the Spirit of Truth? The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. This is what we're praying for, and we're going to be asking God to let this become so real over us as the family of God and the nation. And that's why all our excuses, all our justification, all of this stuff, the Spirit of Truth, the Word of God, is living, active. It goes past our excuses, our thoughts. Everything is laid bare, and the Holy Spirit will lay bare things in our lives that we have to repent of. And the moment the Holy Spirit shares something to us, that very truth that He's sharing, when we embrace that very truth and we take it in, we experience the victory of that truth, the deliverance of that truth, the power of that truth in setting us free. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. So as soon as we respond to the Holy Spirit, we start to experience the law of the Spirit of life working within us. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. So as believers, if we are struggling with all kinds of issues, it's simply because we have not embraced the Spirit of God's truth and we're not experiencing the freedom. Very simple. Very simple. Not complicated at all. In our walk with God. We've been brought up in psychology and all kinds of worldwide wisdom that makes the stuff very, very complicated. It's not. Very simple. We walk God's way. And so we prayed earlier on, in the last days the mountain of the Lord will be chief. In other words, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the greatest kingdom of all. And many people will stream and say, teach us how to walk in the ways of God. Can you see the empty rooms where many have gone for answers for their problems in life? Can you see the streams coming to the throne room of God to get the real answers for the freedom inside and the place of rest? I see it by faith. Prophesy, pray, decree it, because it's real. Faith has a substance that's very, very real. Radical obedience to the Spirit of Truth. But praise God that it doesn't stop there, where stuff that is hidden is going to be exposed. Therefore, since we have a great high priest and has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's always good news. So as the Holy Spirit shares with you and I things that we realize, well, God, you're showing me something here that is tripping me up a bit and is not good for my life, and we repent from that over there, sometimes it's going to be difficult. And that's why we come, Father, I come to your throne of grace. I need your help here. And you receive by faith. And it's an amazing, the power, the life of the Holy Spirit in enabling us to be able to have the victory over the areas where the Holy Spirit is busy shining His light on, exposing things in our lives. So when the Word of God speaks about Jesus, who has made us holy, and then two verses later he says, and is now making us holy. In him we have been made holy, but there is the outworking of that reality. And this is the time we're in now. So today has a meaning for us now, because now we know when the Spirit of God speaks, that is, today if you hear my voice, obey to enter into the rest of God. And that's our walk right now, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. So we want to pray this morning for, a good example before we go there. I'm just reminded of in Revelation chapter 1. Remember Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. In the past God has spoken in various ways to the people through the prophets in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken through and by His Son Jesus Christ. Okay. Now John, in Revelation chapter 1, John, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to his servant, who must soon take place, what must soon take place, he has made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies with everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So here we see this an amazing encounter where the Father is speaking through His Son Jesus Christ about the whole, the times they were in and the times to come, etc. And the Father sends an angel to John and communicates this incredible message now, the book of Revelations. So an angel was sent to John to communicate a message. Okay. Now, here's the whole message. And it's if you see the whole, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 2, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars. And so now this angel of the church in Ephesus, some people would say it's the bishops and the senior pastor, etc., etc. I prefer to take what Revelation started with, an angel as an angel that came to John, and I still say he hasn't changed his mind. It's still different angels over the churches, over the nation, over South Africa, over Sasselburg. So the angel over 1947, the angel over Vereeniging and Van der Bul, Pringle Bay, Pretoria, the angel over the church, and then gives them the words about what Jesus is saying to the church. Then he goes on and he says there, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the ecclesia. Okay, the called out ones, this kingdom, this dominion of believers, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So here we see an incredible example of today, where the Holy Spirit is speaking, and is an angel that's communicating in one way or the other to the different churches all over the world. And what takes place? John writes, but he who hears what the Spirit of God is saying overcomes. And then there's a reward for overcoming, the victory, the rest, the place of rest, experiencing the truth of this incredible message that they are receiving. And we want to pray today that over South Africa, over the family of God, that God will send the messengers to every church, to every Christian fellowship, wherever it may be, all over this nation. And we want to pray that there will be an awakening, that we will hear what the Spirit of God is saying, so that we may respond and be overcomers and enter into the promises that God has spoken for our lives, for our nation. Are you ready to pray this morning? So what we'd like to do is you can take the communion and then just one or two, three, let's get into a group. And if we can pray this morning for the nation, for the family of God, pray for one another, that we may know how to run to the throne room of grace and receive help and mercy when the spotlight is shining and we just may be in that struggle of surrendering. Let's rather run to the throne room of grace. This morning when I was with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and experiencing the severity of this morning and the earnestness of the moment, I was also in the throne room of grace, and I was thinking, I'm so pleased for your grace to help my nation to know what grace is all about right now in this time. Because it can be a very painful time when we resist, or it can be an easy time when we just surrender. And it can be tough sometimes. So let's have communion. So Father, we want to thank you for the joy that we see in your Son Jesus, who said, I've come to do your will. And Lord, your life is an example of incredible radical obedience. You were made perfect. Your obedience was tested right to the very end. And then at that moment of your death on that cross, we see the fulfillment, the perfection of your obedience to the Father for our benefit. So that because of your perfection, because of your total obedience to the Father, we today, Lord Jesus, can take part of that incredible body, your sacrifice. We can take part of the reality of your blood, what you have done for us, so that we can step into the fruit, the results of your incredible, perfect obedience to the Father. You did it for us. And we ask, Lord, that what you have done, we want to come this morning as we partake this morning. We want to come and just say, yes, Lord. We want to see that fruit of yours. We want you to start to live it out on earth because we are your body. And we're wanting to display your incredible obedience as children of God. So we thank you for grace. We thank you for the power of your blood, Lord Jesus, in how you have set us free and this covenant that you have made as a man on our behalf, but also you were the sacrifice of the covenant. So we come this morning to celebrate you, Jesus, in all our shortcomings and when we do fail. What a joy that we can know that you understand, you sympathize, you empathize, you know our weaknesses, but you're the one who's done it for us, and you the author of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. And today we receive your strengthening within us as we partake. So we thank you that we will experience even now as we eat and drink a boldness, a courage. We will begin to partake in something that is so profound within us. We don't have words to describe, but we know that within us something's arising up to be able to just walk in an obedience that we haven't walked before, in a radical obedience and a radical love for you and a radical love for our nation that you've placed us in. So we thank you, Lord, that we can eat and drink together, and also we can intercede. Holy Spirit, today I'm asking that we all connect to your intercession with groans, with words cannot describe, so that with connecting with you, being partnering with you, we can pray the perfect will of the Father for the family of God and for this nation. So what a joy to pray in the Spirit this morning. We want to thank you for that. And today we give you the praise, Jesus. We celebrate as we eat together for your glory, and so that the Father is going to be glorified, because we as the family will be able to complete and do the work of our Father here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.